Mr. James Craig, Reel 2. Now, we were talking about a typical day when you were at HMS Ganges.
Yeah.
So after you'd tidied up for an hour, you've had this sort of biscuit and cocoa. You've tidied up the room for an hour, or cleaned the room for an hour.
Yes.
What would
happen
next?
After you cleaned your room for an hour, then you had breakfast.
Now, take me. What was the food like? We'll do all three meals together if we can. What was the food like? What would you get?
Breakfast. Breakfast was quite good, really. Used to have things like bacon with tomatoes, train smash we called it.
Because it was red.
Rashers in red lead. They had various names for all the breakfast. You always got porridge. Sometimes we had. I remember, which I didn't particularly like, we used to have fish, haddock or something, you know, with steamed haddock. I didn't care much for that. Then you always got bread and butter, and tea. Yeah. But the food was quite reasonable and varied. Yeah.
And so you'd no problem at all with that?
No.
You could get enough?
Yes, there was ample always. In fact, one of the ships I was on afterwards, they said they only gave you big meals at Ganges to create a good impression, you know, because some of the ships weren't so good when you got to them.
And after you'd had your breakfast, we'd go back into the day?
Yes. Then you'd fall in for morning divisions.
Now, what's morning divisions?
You assembled by classes on the parade ground, and were inspected.
Mm. And how strict was the inspection?
Oh, you had to have the correct gear on. In fact, one bitterly cold day, some of the lads thought it was very cold standing on the parade ground, so they put their long football stockings on to keep the legs warm. When we went on parade, they made this hoist our trousers up, bell-bottom trousers up. They made us hoist them up. And those who were wearing the wrong sort of stockings, who were wearing stockings instead of socks, were put on a charge. Now, that's how strict the dress code was. You had to be right. Yes. And you couldn't walk about with your hands in your pockets. It was keep your hands out of your pockets.
Did anything else happen? They inspected you on the division parade, morning divisions.
Yes.
Did anything else happen on the parade, or was it just an inspection?
They did an inspection, picked you up if you needed a haircut, didn't have your shoes polished, didn't have your silk round your jumper the correct length, tied correctly, your lanyard not right, your hat wrong. You know, anything that was wrong with your dress, it had to be spot on, really. Yeah. After that, you did a march past run. Then you broke up and went to the classes that you were having that particular day.
Well, let's look at some of all the classes you'd have. Now, you mentioned education. You were had to go back to school. Tell me about that.
Went back to school. They taught you things. How to make out your mess bill. Well, I could count, so that wasn't any problem. They taught you quite a bit about naval history. They were very keen very keen on the Battle of Trafalgar. You know, we got that in detail more than once, the Battle of Trafalgar.
Were you interested? I mean, you know.
Oh, yes. Oh, I was quite interested, you know. Yeah, it was quite interesting.
Did they actually have different levels of classes for people who are like a bit behind with their English or maths? I mean.
Not really. You got, after a bit, you had to pass an educational test, ET1, Educational Test 1, which was arithmetic and various things. I forget what was in it now. I can tell you, actually, somewhere. fish.
English.
English, dictation, a letter or description, and paraphrasing. Arithmetic, the first four rules, vulgar, decimal, fractions, averages, simple problems of money, weights and measures, and making out mess bills.
So, you know, simple education.
Yeah, and technical subjects, mensuration and scale drawing, speed and direction, a special reference to naval problems, elementary chart work and graphical work, elementary mechanics and electricity. Simple problems on naval pay and allowances. That was it, really. That was educational test one.
And so you were doing that. Now, what else were you doing? What about you were trained as a boy seaman, weren't you?
Yeah,
not a signaller.
Yeah.
Now, what? Take me through seamanship.
Seamanship. Yes. Box the compass.
Now tell me about that. Were you still really? I mean, they used to learn it, so they'd test you going round with all the bits, go backwards and forwards.
Oh yeah.
Did you do all that, or was it?
No. They did test you on the compass. You had to know north from south and east from west, and northwest from southeast, and that type of thing.
But not the north-west, south-west.
Northeast, northeast by east, and all the way around. You know,
did some
of the fellas did it off pallet fashion all the way around.
You didn't.
I didn't. No, I just I found if you learnt enough. To get you by, that was fine. Steering, they had steering wheels so that you learned how to steer the ship. You learned rules of the road.
What are they? What sort of things are they?
Rule of the road, lights and buoyage and where buoys are in the river. And anchors and cables you had to learn, anchoring the ship, tying the ship up. How to knots and splices, of course, that was quite a big thing.
How far did they go into that? Because that's quite a subject on its own.
Pretty deeply, actually. Yes, you had to be good on that. And they were keen on the knots and splices.
Were they splicing rope or wire or both?
Rope. You had to learn wire splicing. You were taught wire splicing, but you didn't have any to do. Not until you wanted to pass exams for leading seamen and that type of thing, you know. Most of the chaps could do wire splicing. That was quite interesting. Not so many people could do that, actually. Yeah.
What else? Heaving the lead?
Yes. What was how do they call it? The letters for the names. Billy went yachting round Bethnal Green. Was the marks on the lead line. Billy, blue, white, yellow, so on. Billy went yachting round Bethnal Green. That's how you remember the colours on the lead line. Yeah. So that was quite good. Rowing and seamanship, of course.
Now tell me about rowing. Was this cutter? You'd done this sort of very basic fixed rowing.
Yes.
Were you now out in cutters and whalers?
Yes, down on the foreshore at the pierhead, they had a number of cutters and whalers. Usually had a session every week about rowing, sailing, and then you would showed how the rules of the road worked when you were actually at sea. Yeah.
And how did you take to rowing and sailing?
Oh, I was very keen on rowing, actually. In fact, all the time I was in the Navy, I took part in. Every year they had a regatta, and I always took part in the rowing regatta, and did a bit of sailing as well.
Did they practice racing while you were at Shotley?
Yes. They had annual events, you know, between all the different houses. The Ganges itself was split up into different divisions, and we were an Anson division, and you had the Grenville division and the Benbow division, so many divisions, and all these divisions had competitions between themselves at the end of the year, you know. So that was quite good. Yeah.
And what the other thing, and now you're actually introduced to the masthead while you're at the
annex.
The annex. Now, tell me about the introduction to the masthead, and tell me about the masthead anyway, because it's quite famous.
The mast is actually, I think it's 143 feet or something high, which is quite lifty, really, especially on a cold November morning. And he stood us in front of the mast and said, well, there's the mast, and what you've got to do is climb up. He didn't go to the very, very top bit, but when you got to the Devil's Elbow, where the shrouds went out, you had the choice.
That's about halfway up, isn't it?
Halfway up. You had the choice of either going in the middle or going round on the outside. Yeah.
Where you're hanging out.
Where you're hanging out. So most of the lads, and I was one, we decided to go outside. So it was a very cold morning, you know. And we get up there, and you had a certain time in which to do this climb up the mast and down. I won a bar of chocolate for doing it under the time. Yeah. So I thought it was quite good, really.
Were you able to go right to the top?
Yeah.
Did you, on the button?
No, I never went there. I went as far as the ladders went. It was the Devil's Elbow, as they call it. Then you went up to what they call the Half Moon. And that was the end of the shroud. Then there was a Jacob's Ladder, which went so far. And then there was a little bit above that onto the button. I never got further than the Jacob's Ladder. I didn't fancy the button too much. Some guys did. They went and stood there, you know. You've got to admire the courage, really.
But you didn't suffer from... You were all right with heights, generally.
I had no problem with heights at all.
Did all the lads... I mean, did some of the lads have trouble?
Oh, some of them did have trouble. Yeah. Some of them did. Some of them were really afraid of it, you know. Yeah. And in fact, one lad, he had to go up and help him down, which is a shame, really, but there it is. Most of the things at Ganges didn't give me much trouble at all. I was good at marching because I'd been in the boys' brigade.
What about, did they do any rifle training?
Oh, yes, you did rifle drill. Yes, from a very early time at Ganges, you did rifle drill.
Yeah. But how about training to actually shoot the rifle?
Oh, yes, you did shooting. Once again, that gave me no problem, because there's a picture down there of my father receiving a cup at the... It used to belong to the rifle club at Stirling, which were all the go in between the wars. And he was the area champion. And he taught me to shoot. Must have been about 10, I think. He taught me to shoot, so shooting didn't give me any trouble. Mostly we did 2-2 rifle shooting, and then as we progressed on, we got on to shooting a real rifle, the 303 rifle, which was pretty exciting, really. It's quite good, that. Yeah. And I was a good shot. I was a good shot until you got past the 600 yard mark. I couldn't master the 1,000 yard very well, but I was very good up to 600 yards. And on the 2-2 rifle shooting, I actually shot for the team, the mess team, shooting against in competition. Yeah.
Do you remember the competition? What were the competitions like? Not so well from the...
No, not really. You just went to the range, and the competition, the other team would turn up, and. Nothing spectacular.
And what about physical training, PT or running or any of the ways of getting fit?
PT, yes. You had either a morning or afternoon session of PT every week in the gym. Never forget the gym. And that was hard work, that. I wasn't too bad at the BT. The only thing I wasn't very keen on was the vaulting horse. I used to fall over that more than not, you know. Used to give the other lads a bit of a laugh. At the end of the gym, on the wall, there was a poem by Rudyard Kipling, If, you know. Finished up the, you know, if you can do this, you'll be a man, my son, you know. Rudyard Kipling's F. And it was actually printed on the end wall of the gymnasium. So you did that. You had sessions of swimming.
Now, could you swim already?
Yes, I could swim. Because, as I say, when I was at school, the school had a swimming bath. So I could swim, so that was no trouble. When you were at Ganges, you did your... part one swimming test.
Now, what was
swimming
that?
Swimming test part one. You'd jump in the end of the bath with your clothes on, swim a couple of lengths, float around for so long, and that was it. That was your part one swimming test. Part one. There was a later one, actually.
But not then.
Not then.
Now, what about cross country or anything?
Yes, you did cross countries. Most sport things you had to take. And of course, we had boxing.
Tell me about the boxing.
After you've been there a wee while, when they got down to the gym one day, the fella's in two ranks and says, right, put the gloves on and you fight the fella you're standing opposite, you know. So, anyway, most of us got in and sort of punched each other a little bit, and that was it, you know. Any that shone and were exceptional, they put in the boxing team, you know.
But not
which
you.
I didn't fancy that. And of the other fella who I was with, about the same height, a fella called Orty, we were both of the same mind, so we pranced around a bit and did a bit of what we thought was good jabs and all that sort of thing, you know, and left it at that, really.
did you do any gunnery training while you were there, or introduction to gunnery?
Yes, after you'd been there about 6 months, moved you on to down to the heavy gun battery, and you were taught loading, aiming, and gun drill on 6-inch guns.
Do you remember the drill? What was it like?
It was all by numbers, really. Round the 6-inch gun, you had probably about 8 people. Layer and trainer on either side. People who pressed the button. People who loaded the shells. Somebody, the breech worker, who closed the breech. People who pushed the shell in with a rammer. That was quite interesting as well. And in fact, I find most of the things they were taught at Ganges interesting. It was new.
But you just knew. You weren't firing the gun.
We didn't actually do any big gun firing.
Were you introduced to signalling? I know you weren't a signaller, but were you introduced to any of the
signals? Oh, yes. You had to recognise basic signals and things like that. Yeah.
Is that the flags or the
the flags, semaphore? Yes. You were introduced to semaphore.
What about Morse?
Because as the boat's crew, if you were in a boat's crew, you had to understand semaphore because they'd signal to you if they wanted you to come back to the ship or do something or other. So you had to be able to do a bit of semaphore for that.
Did you do any Morse?
No.
Any other aspects to your training that you remember that you might do on a typical day?
I think we've covered most of it. Gunnery, shooting, PT, seamanship. I think we've covered most of it, really.
Now, what would you do in the evening?
In the evening, By the time you did your instructions in the morning, had your lunch, did your instructions in the afternoon, had your tea, turned to after tea and did instructions till about 8 o'clock at tea time, you only had an hour before lights out, 9 o'clock. And that was spent polishing your boots, doing your kit up, you know.
How much work would you have to do on your kit to get it ready, preparing for inspections?
Not long. When you had to lay your kit out...
Tell me about that.
Every 2 weeks you had a kit muster. How it could go wrong in 2 weeks at Ganyes, I don't know, but you had a kit muster every 2 weeks. Everything had to be folded out, laid out on top of your hammock, and tied up neatly with things they call close tops, bits of string, you know, and you all had to be equidistant as you rolled up and tied them up. You laid it on two sides of your hammock, and the straps had to run in line. Yeah. And there was a way of laying it out. Your hat box at the top, with your clothes brush and your hair brush on top, your boots at the bottom, all had to be laid out in a special order. Kit muster.
And what would happen if something was wrong?
Which did, some of the fellas just did dodge the column, you know. And the inspecting officer came round one day and said, where's your pyjamas? Where's your other pair of pyjamas, you know? And the bloke says, oh, he said, there's one there, sir, and the other one's at the laundry. Because we used to have a laundry, which you did yourself, by the way. He said, down at the laundry drying, sir. So the officer went across to his bed, lifted up his mattress, and there were his unwashed pyjamas, you know. So he was on a charge.
How did you get on with the other lads?
Pretty good, really. Oh, yes. There was a few Scots lads there. In fact, one of the Scots lads on that photograph, his name was Telfer. I fell out with him after a couple of days and got involved in a bit of a scrap.
Now, why did you fall out with him?
I don't know. I haven't a clue. I can't remember. I fell out with him, and it deteriorated into a bit of a scrap, really, which this chief petty officer separated us. He says, if you want to fight, he'll take you down the gym and you can put the boxing gloves on, you know. So anyway, that was sorted out. But
did you go down to the gym with him?
No, we sorted it out. We shook hands. But I suppose it had the effect that I didn't get picked on by anybody, you know, because they'd sort of shown willing to get involved.
Was there much bullying?
No, very little. No. I don't remember any bullying at all. We had a very good class of boys, really.
Did you make any long-lasting friends?
Yes, well, I've still got the chap I'm in contact with in the West Midlands. To this day, yes, we still phone each other.
What's
he came
name?
To see me the other week, Harry Van.
Two N's,
V-A-N-N, yeah. We're in contact to this day, yes.
So, yeah. You know, it was a lasting friendship. What about the instructors? And you wanted to tell me about your... Yes.
My mother's friend's brother, who was an instructor at Ganges, chief petty officer, and she had asked him to keep an eye on me. So a couple of days after we joined, stood outside in the brand new oilskin they'd given me in the rain, pouring down the rain, and this chief said to me, he said, which one is Craig? I said, oh, that's me, sir. He said, your mother thinks you can't look after yourself. He said, I will make sure that you can look after yourself, you know. So every job that was going, he used to send for me. He used to say, Craig, go and do so and so, you know. You can look after yourself now, can't you, you know.
So he was teasing you, really.
Yeah.
Were the instructors good, generally? How
They were very good indeed.
What was good about them?
The two that they had. You had two instructors. You had an instructor who was responsible. He was the gunnery instructor. He was responsible for your drilling on the parade and your rifle shooting and your heavy gun battery duty and that type of thing. And the other instructor did the seamanship side. And he taught you all the rules of the road and seamanship and knots and splices and all the things to do with seamanship. He was very good. Only thing, he used to... I don't think he was all that keen on being an instructor at Ganges, because half the time he spent talking about his time spent in the China fleet. And he said, I only hope when I leave here I can get back to the China fleet, you know.
Was the manner generally friendly, or was there lots of shouting and bawling and swearing?
Oh, no, it was friendly. Mind you, when you've got a crowd of 16-year-olds, you know, they tend to get a bit boisterous sometimes, so a bit of shouting and discipline was necessary at times. And they used to get up to all sorts of pranks, you know. Some of the lads used to like a cigarette. I didn't smoke, but some of the lads used to like a cigarette and used to get behind the all the kit bags at the bottom, and you know, they'd get caught and get put in a charge. And then there was one or two. I can remember one in particular who hated the time at Ganges, and he absconded a couple of times.
He deserted.
But he didn't. Not everybody took to the life. You've got to be amenable to discipline and not mind somebody telling you what to do, and you know, and you've got to take the rough with the smooth. And keep your head down a little bit, and you get on all right, really.